Thank you all for your time this morning. Today I'll be talking to you about how Florida makes a lot of its public health aggregate data available to the world through the Community Health Assessment Resource Toolset, which is kind of a mouthful, but we just call it CHARTS. CHARTS is considered by myself and many others, not just those that work there, to be a really wonderful example of good data. However, the Florida Department of Health, Division of Disease Control and Health Protection, saw an opportunity to improve the information in CHARTS about vaccine-preventable diseases and enteric diseases. Basically, we found an example of not the best data and took it upon ourselves to rise to the standards of the rest of the information in CHARTS. This morning, I'm going to take you on a tour of how marvelous CHARTS is, how we went about making it even more remarkable, and a few possibilities of how you might be able to use this information in your own area. Because at the end of the day, I truly believe that a cornerstone of good data is providing it back to the people that represent it and who want to use it. So let's start off with, what do I mean by good data and what the heck is CHARTS? What are some of the words that come to mind when you think of good data? Accurate, valid, reliable, timely, relevant, complete? It's information that can be used to analyze a problem. It's data collection and a systematic approach that can then be validated. It's granular, but while still being applicable. It's something people understand and can use in research to solve a problem. How many of you have ever read a news article that had some statistic that made you go, wait a second, how did they collect this data? Who was involved in this study? How did they control for bias? What were the limitations? Like, where'd this come from? You're wondering about good data. My point is that good data is a wonderful resource representing quality work, while bad data can really only be used as a paperweight. Florida CHARTS is a great example of good data. This is the homepage, by the way, and you can find it at www.flhealthcharts.com. And it got in 2015 about 12 million hits from 283,000 people. It's popular. Florida CHARTS is a public website with aggregate counts, rates, statistics on various health topics, such as communicable diseases, maternal and child health factors, chronic disease, injury and violence, and population statistics. It provides a window for the public to the surveillance work that the state does and is a one-stop shop for Florida's public health information. I highly encourage you to go to this website and just swim around and look at everything that's on there, because actually it would take me an entire day at CSCE to go over all of it. But for now, let's go over a high level of what this website encompasses. The information displayed in CHARTS comes from many different avenues, about over 25 different programs, both inside and out of Florida's Department of Health. It gets data regarding car crashes from the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. Statistics on crime come from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, emergency room visits, hospitalizations, even data from foster care from the Department of Children and Families, and school lunches and graduate waits from the Department of Education. This is all to say that CHARTS has a lot of data partners and collects a lot of information. But the biggest proponent of CHARTS data comes from 9 public health departments, public health programs. From these programs, CHARTS pulls data on vital statistics, HIV and AIDS, STD data, cancer statistics, national surveys like BRFSS and YRBS, WIC, immunizations, and data on communicable and reportable diseases from Florida's reportable disease system called Merlin. CHARTS took a really great approach with figuring out what to display. They let the experts decide. The very same people that analyze and validate the data that then give it to CHARTS are the same ones that tell the CHARTS team what data fields would be good to use where. Because they're the ones that know the quality of the data, where it comes from, what it means, the limitations, down to what notes should be used wherever it's displayed. So all this information is being collected from so many sources. How is it being presented on CHARTS? How is this mountain of information being made available to the public? The answer is in a huge way. Just highlighting some of the interesting and more useful examples, you can look up population estimates in a query tool, state maps of birth characteristics and leading causes of death. BRFSS survey answers from previous years can be queried. Charts can even show you water quality maps and hotel and restaurant inspections, which, for those of you planning to attend CSDE next year in West Palm Beach, you might want to check that out. After all, Florida's big tourism state. We pride ourselves on our great beaches, awesome resorts, and delicious seafood. Additionally, Charts has health indicator reports, which use annual data to show trends over time, spatial analysis by counties, rates by year for one specific disease or condition at a time, and they're categorized into these six different topics. The picture on the right is a visual of what one of them looks like. But Charts isn't just showing data that's a year old after the database is closed and then validated. It can also show you recent data. One of the particularly cool ways that Charts uses reportable and infectious disease is with the Reportable Disease Frequency Report. It pulls data weekly from Merlin and uses a program called Logi to make queries based off of diseases, county, whether it's confirmed or probable case, if it's required in Florida, somewhere else in the U.S., or outside the country, even age group. Logi creates a frequency report with counties and counts and percentages and even several different kinds of charts and graphs based off of the query criteria. So, for reportable infectious diseases in Charts, there's the Logi query, which can provide aggregate information about cases that are just days old, which might be useful if you wanted to look up recent activity in a county or with a disease. But there are also reports that have years of validated data that show historical trends. Another way that longitudinal data is used, besides analyzing one disease or condition in those health indicator reports, is to put it together with other health data measures in Charts that complement each other and can be used to give a comprehensive picture of the health trends and status of specific populations. These summaries of all different health aspects are called the county and state profiles, and they're divided into four categories: health summaries, healthiest weight, minority health, and population specific. These are a great way to get a broad view of the health of a certain population. For instance, in the health summaries profiles, there are reports that have general health factors like STD rates and birth rates between counties or between a county and the state. There's also the healthiest weight, which is named after Florida's initiative to try to be the healthiest weight in the nation, that has reports on obesity and exercise. Minority health has reports on American Indian, Black, and Hispanic cultures. And the population-specific reports are about birth defects, chronic disease, school-age children, and pregnant women with very young children. Each of these reports has many health measures, ranging from community characteristic measures to infectious disease rates, immunizations, access to care, and education. It's the whole kit and caboodle. County health departments, researchers, and the public use these reports to get a full view of not just a few health measures for a certain topic, but to get the whole picture. It was in these reports that we saw an issue of how the data we were providing about VPDs and enteric diseases were not doing justice to the great detail that went into the rest of the reports. This is an example of what the measures of VPD and enteric diseases look like in some of these reports. The VPD measure at the top was a combined calculation of some VPDs, diphtheria, acute hep B, measles, pertussis, rubella, tetanus, and polio. So you had diseases like pertussis, which Florida has seen a range of 200 to 700 cases per year over the past decade, to polio, which Florida has had one case of in 20 years. Similarly, you had enteric diseases, which was a calculated combination also of campy, crypto, cyclo, acute giardia, hep A, salmonella, STEC, shigella, and typhoid. Florida has historically seen a high number of salmonella cases compared to the rest of the country. We have been getting about between 5,000 and 6,500 cases per year. It's such an issue that we're taking special measures to try to figure out why we get so many. And this measure was combining those numbers with typhoid, which we got five cases of in the past 10 years. Just to kind of compare these measures to others that were in the Charts County and State Profile reports, heart failure alone in some of these reports has five different measures associated with it. These combined statistics weren't giving a clear picture of the disease groups that they were representing and would have easily been confusing or maybe even misleading to someone looking at them. It was kind of like taking a Florida orange and an Idaho potato and grouping them together in a category called not meat. Like, it just didn't make sense. It wasn't really giving all the information that measured up to the rest of charts and didn't provide the granularity to indicate which diseases were potentially problematic and didn't allow for assessment of more targeted approach for prevention activities. At this point, we could see the problem, and we had to figure out how to fix it. Our approach was that we knew at the end of this project we wanted to end up with a clear picture of BPD and enteric disease incidence in these reports. We knew we wanted to separate out the clustered measures, use BPD and enteric federal performance measures as a jumping off point, as a way to guide us, and we wanted to come up with measures that best represented the health issues for individuals that were what that report was about. The process started by going to the charts team and letting them know that we had some big changes we wanted to make. They were, of course, happy to add additional data to the charts website. So once we knew that we could make those changes, we looked internally for how to come up with new measures. We took a page from charts and we let the experts decide. We had meetings with our Bureau of Immunizations and discussed what the focus was of the various county and state profile reports, and then asked them what diseases would give the best representation of the occurrence of vaccine-preventable diseases in that community. We also had similar meetings with our enteric disease epidemiologists and asked them what measures of enteric diseases would provide the clearest picture of disease occurrence for the group that profile represented. Additionally, we asked both groups to consider age ranges of the disease occurrence that would be most applicable to the various reports. After several meetings, we came up with lists of new measures for vaccine-preventable diseases and enteric food and waterborne diseases, and which reports to add them to. We then took those lists to the charts folks, and they went through the list, adding the new measures to each of the appropriate fields, and after a few weeks, everything was added. The numbers were pulled from Merlin, every I dotted, and every Escherichia, but not coli, was capitalized. We had started this entire project back in September of 2015, and by May of 2016, 6 county and state profile reports were updated with 50 enteric disease measures, and 5 county and state profile reports were updated with 67 vaccine-preventable disease measures. Of all of those new measures, 38 were age-specific, and 3 were specific to pregnant women or women of childbearing age. This is just a little example of the changes that we made to vaccine-preventable diseases, only in one report, and actually I couldn't even get all the diseases into one slide. That's how many there were. But just a little quick preview. Additionally, enteric, same thing. This is just from one of the reports. Couldn't even get them all on there, but it shows you just how much detail we went into. The goal of these changes was to disseminate better information through the Florida Charts website. The prior reports lacked some diseases and group measures in a way that was potentially misrepresentative of the true incidence of that disease category. The revisited, revised measures provide detailed and easy-to-understand data. We believe that these new measures are much more useful to the counties and researchers that use them and the public in general. So to wrap things up, I'd like to talk about why another state should care and why you might find this information, how you might be able to use this information. For one, you could go into charts and you could look at the data for Florida to compare to your own state, as well as compare maybe your county to a similar size in Florida. Also, you could set up a similar version of this. Every state and territory has population information, and if you combine that with some of the amazing reports, graphs, and maps that your area submitted to CSTE, then you've started your own version of charts. Also, if you have federal performance measures that you've been collecting for years, then perhaps you could take that longitudinal data and put it not only in a website, but make it interactive by putting in a query tool for people to look up by incidence of disease, county, year, age group. We all see this wonderful data collected and analyzed, written in reports and presented on, and we shouldn't keep it all to ourselves. We should keep looking for ways that we can give the data back to the people that represent those numbers. And we should make sure that it's in a way that's an awesome example of good data. Thank you.
So, I have a question. Have you seen a difference in volume of times that these data have been looked at since you've split them apart and made them?
Ooh, so we actually don't have the 2016 numbers yet for how many visitors they have, but between Charts got a new facelift. It got a whole new look about it in the beginning of 2017. And then also in 2016, we changed the measures. We added the new frequency report. So all of that is new. And I believe that as we speak, they're calculating those numbers for their number of hits and users. And that would be very interesting to see. And I'm crossing my fingers it's more.
Any other questions for Blake?
Thank you.